It's Sid Sharma with you on your Thursday Drive. And we've got a bit of an environmental theme going on for this week's show. Now, for this next segment, we all know that Australia has some of the most diverse and beautiful wildlife on the planet. But, you know, if we want these animals to continue to thrive in our beautiful country, there is a lot more that we need to do, you know? Like, yeah, extinctions in Australia are becoming increasingly and disturbingly common. As more mammal species in particular have disappeared in Australia more than any country in the last 200 years, which is a statistic that just blew my mind when I first heard that. And so, you know, I mean, we've had examples of this all throughout history. You know, the fabled Tasmanian tiger, which went extinct in 1933, is probably one of the most famous. But there have been so many more that have, you know, fallen to the past, including the bilby, the pig-footed bandicoot, and the wallaby, the tulaka wallaby. So to educate us a little bit more about this worrying issue and to hopefully inspire to inspire us to buck the trend and, you know, actually care about our wildlife a little bit more, we're chatting to Sarah Legg, a wildlife ecologist and a professor at the Australian National University. Sarah, how do you do?
Well, thanks, Sid. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you. So, look, Sarah, tell me, what are some of the usual causes of extinction in Australia?
Australia is an unusual country in that respect because globally the big drivers for extinction are habitat loss and persecution and hunting. Mm. Australia is a little bit different because habitat loss is still very important, but on top of that, invasive species have exacted an enormous toll on our fauna. So you mentioned that there have been particularly severe impacts on mammals, and that's true. So actually 10% of all the mammal species that were on the continent at the time of European settlement are now gone.
That's crazy.
They're extinct forever.
Mm. That's crazy that they're gone. And is that why Australia faces a higher rate of extinction than, you know, a lot of other countries, because of those kinds of introduced pest species?
Yeah, that's definitely been part of the mix. And, you know, managing introduced animals at such a huge scale, a continental scale, is challenging. Mm. But also we have failed to address that challenge adequately. And we need to step up our game, because otherwise there will be more extinctions for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Now, look, for anyone listening, Sarah, who, you know, might be thinking, okay, well, I've never seen a two-legged wallaby in my life. Why should I care about it going extinct? What are some of the implications of animals that do just disappear from our ecosystem?
Yeah, I think one of the problems with extinctions in Australia, especially with mammals, is that a lot of them lived in, you know, more arid parts of the continent, so people aren't as familiar with them. They're a very characteristic and unique part of the Australian natural legacy. And, you know, it's our responsibility to keep that legacy intact for ourselves and for future generations. And, you know, there's also ecological reasons to do it. Like once you start picking species out of a system, it's like unraveling a knitted jumper, and the whole ecosystem can start going into to a state of collapse that's even hard to predict. And I think the third reason is that the fauna of this country is really tightly bound up in indigenous cultural heritage. Mm. And so when we lose such an important part of the landscape, we're actually affecting the cultural landscape as well as the ecological landscape.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and I think that we definitely all need to think more about that on a day-to-day basis, about the fact that there is this huge domino effect from species going extinct or even endangered, but also we are losing a part of our culture and, you know, our history. So, look, many animals do appear to be on the endangered list at the moment and are heading for extinction. What can we do? What action do we need to take to start righting these wrongs?
There's a whole suite of things because, of course, the problems are not just invasive species. There are things like habitat loss and changed fire regimes and so on.
Of course.
So, you know, we need a sort of across-the-board paradigm shift in starting right up at the top in terms of investment, we need to invest much more heavily in the environment. It gets a tiny fraction of our of the annual budget. And we need to start thinking of it more like, you know, we're quite happy to support big recurrent annual costs in health and education, and we understand its importance to our society. And environment should be on the same tier. You know, we should be valuing it enough to invest in it properly. And then we could start thinking about how to roll out management of some of these tricky threats across much bigger areas.
Yeah, definitely. What about the, say, the average person standing in their backyard? Is there anything that they can do to try and, you know, combat this fight against extinction?
Well, apart from lobbying politicians or would-be politicians, that would be one end of the scale. But there's lots of little things that we can all do. Like, we all should be trying to reduce our ecological footprint. You know, things like that make a big difference. A lot of the work that I've involved in has focused on the impact of feral cats. So I'll come right down to one very local example. You know, if you have a pet cat, just consider making it an indoor pet cat, because cats and foxes are the key reason that we've got the worst mammal extinction rate in the country. So if you let your cat out at night, it's going to kill wildlife no matter how much you feed it. If you keep the cat indoors, not only will it not kill wildlife, but it's much less likely to get beat up in cat fights, run over by a car, get lost and so on. So it's